In 2007, Correa launched the initiative to protect the Yosemite area of the Amazon basin, which boasts some of the planet's most diverse wildlife. He said he had scrapped the plan after it attracted only a fraction of the sum it aimed to raise.
The Ecuadorian president tried to defend his decision to the country.
El verdadero dilema es 100%.
The real dilemma is 100% to do with Yaconi, and no resources to answer our people's urgent needs, or 99% Yaconi intact and nearly $18 billion to conquer poverty.
Scores of demonstrators protested the decision, while others came out in a...
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
You know, Senator, as we approach the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech before the Lincoln Memorial, Al Sharpton, among others, leading a rally of his own, arguing the government has to do more. What do you think of that?
I think that jobs and education are the two pillars of the American dream. If we are going to do more about jobs and education, that's fine. But to give more to the tragedy, the recent tragedy, is a perfect example of what happens when government gives everyone their food, their housing, their clothing. They have nothing to do. They just sit around, play some violent video games, and then go out and kill people. I mean, it's a tragedy, and it is a tragedy that is predictable when you do everything for people, when they have nothing to do for themselves. They don't have to pick up a fork or a knife even.
Yeah, well, you do have an uphill battle ahead of you, but I think you're more than up for that challenge. Senator, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land! Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me you're Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man come in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for the smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
It's sort of masquerade time when you go into court, because the attorney will say, get a haircut and get a blue suit. Get a haircut and a blue suit and get rid of those shoes. And that's so the jurors or the triers of the facts are not confused. Because that day in court, you know, they can pick out the felon, the one in the blue suit. Because that day, the man in blue is bereft of gun and badge. No bullets, he's got on the brown suit that day. Judge has got on his black robe, and it's masquerade time till the recess, and then the recess we have the... That's the time where the justice is really seen, because the felon gets a chance to view the magistrate in the natural. It's criminal to generalize. But subjectively, the police officers that I have known now, and politicians, all civil servants will say, they represent a point of view. They are a group. And in California, soon we will have a third party. I know that. There will be a police party. It's not a bad or good, it's a what is. And it's a policeman that has his point of view. And like my father, he feels, just shut up and I'll take care of you. And that's what's happening here. Because with all of the bus, they always think, well, it's not us, it's them, and I keep looking for them. Which one is they? They in England? That was right after I left here. I made the flight there. I worked it a year before and I did good. I come back this time and I got deported. So it's no wounded bird bit. I would deport me if I were the Home Office.
Internet radio for smarter original.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service. Logging to the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, Thought and Analyses, concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family at this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, Angry Indian. And as always, I'm in the studio with our executive producer and engineer, Guadalupe Morales. And, you know, we had an agenda when we came in here, but we read the news and there's just things going back and forth. I don't even want to say it's insane, because that's really a cliche. But things are really confusing for a lot of people. Things are happening really, really fast. Media really isn't helping things at all. And that's about as fair a statement as I think I can make on the subject. I mean, things are not logical in any way, shape, or form. It's very, very, very goddamn strange. So, you know, we just had the demanding trial, and he's been sentenced. And I'm not even really sure what it is, because they were talking 90 at one point. And Lupe's telling me that it's about 30 years so far, and even then, there's an appeal about that, or there's a... Well, I would hope that he would appeal the entire goddamn, you know, Schadenfreude, but... Yeah, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. I just feel extremely goddamn bad for somebody who is sensitive, obviously, because by now, I mean, everybody knows by now, and the Republicans, those motherfuckers, you know, they went out of their goddamn way to let everybody in the goddamn prison system in the United States know that Bradley Manning is really transgender. You know, you're a bunch of fucking punks. You know that? You know, I mean, you don't like women. You don't like genetic women. You don't like women. You know, I don't know what the fuck your problem is, you goddamn Republicans. I don't know what it is with conservatives in goddamn general. Not just Republicans in the United States. I'm talking about, conservatives across the entire spectrum and across the bubble. You know, conservatives in Africa. You think they like women? You think they respect women? They talk a lot of shit like that. They talk that big game about how, well, you know, everything we do is about respect for the black woman. That's a whole lot of bullshit. You know, the majority of the cats I know that talk like that, they really don't treat their women very well at all. You know, that's just my particular experience. And I'm generalizing. But I'm also saying that just about every conservative male I've ever known treated his woman like shit. You know what I mean? You know, this is just me talking as a man. I'm being me. Man. I'm being Abby, all right? You know, I'm telling you, every conservative son of a bitch I've ever known, I don't give a fuck what his ethnicity is. I don't give a fuck what country he comes from. You know, I don't give a damn what religion he follows or claims to follow and believe in and preach and all that kind of bullshit. But when it really comes down to it, you look at their family life, man. The wife is in fear. She can't make any goddamn decisions. You know, every conservative I know treats his woman like she's, you know, property. Every conservative I know, all of them, you know, they act like all things are even and it's fair. No, it isn't. You know, my wife had a friend. Well, I hope they're still friends, but it really depends upon her man, you know, because, you know, in his mind, you know, my wife was giving, you know, Ms. Agnew Indian was just giving this woman a little bit too much freedom. I mean, he really had the whole stereotypical pimp hand down on her. I mean, she couldn't do it. But anybody who knows anything about pimping knows that it only work like that, right? That's some shit that y'all see in the motherfucking movies. But, my lady, she wants to go on and you know, she wants to go out. She wants to go have a drink. She wants to go hang out with some of her girlfriends. Go ahead. You know. I'll see you when you get home, you know, and I guess what happened, you know, what I tell you, Lupe, she came home late and didn't call him, you know, because he was working out of town, you know, she didn't call him and check in, basically. She wasn't clocking in with him, and he got mad and basically blamed my lady for this, and I'm like, how the hell are you going to blame her? You know, your woman makes her own goddamn decisions, man, He didn't like that. So he's already packed her up, moved her out to one of those man camps out there in motherfucking North Dakota. You know, where they say that Native women are being abused, you know, with impunity. Have you heard about that? I'm not talking about Canada this time. You know, our Thunderbird, you know, is just as important as it is in the lower 48. As it is in what's going on in the Great White North. But you never really hear about it down here. You hear about, I don't know, more every now and again, but nobody's really pumping it, right? So here you have our Thunderbird. You have women who are missing all throughout Canada. The majority of them are Native sisters, are First Nation sisters. Because that's how they identify, right? They're our First Nation sisters. You know, a lot of them are missing. They're being abused all the time. And you have the Prime Minister, Bush Light up there, Harper, talking about, well, hey, you know, report these incidences to the police. But then it turns out with the independent studies that the police in some of these districts, in some of these provinces, are the ones that are doing most of the goddamn sexual assaults. So, you know, his answer is, well, just report it to them. Right? So, you know, the misogyny, of course, is thick. It's thick. And there's no excuse for it. But you know, again, we're talking about conservative males. We're talking about conservative goddamn males. So, you know, everything makes them nervous. Everything scares them. And women, obviously, scare them to the point of acting like complete motherfucking fools, trolls, and bastards. This is The Angry Indian. Please stay tuned. We're going to take a break so stations may identify themselves. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I just wanna be with you.
political careers. Among my panelists tonight, Councilman and former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry joins us. His scandal was arguably much worse than either Filner or Weiner. In 1990, Mayor Barry was videotaped smoking what the feds allege was crack cocaine. He pled guilty, did 6 months in federal prison, then got reelected mayor anyway. Councilman, welcome. Mayor Barry, welcome.
So, Gerardo, you're absolutely wrong about something.
Okay, what am I wrong about, Mayor?
You're wrong about the fact that I got convicted of smoking crack. It didn't happen. And the FBI spent $7 to $10 million trying to entrap me. And we had an 8-week trial. And 9 of the 12 jurors, 9 black jurors, said they ought to acquit me on all charges. The 3 white ones said they ought to convict me on all charges. And so that was a totally different thing. The FBI spent all this money trying to set me up. $7-8 million.
Wait, Mayor Barry, time out. You're not rewriting history here. You were.
No, I'm not. I am.
Cocaine,
I know. In fact, I didn't. At the trial, the federal government refused to produce evidence of what was in that pipe. In fact, they were trying to kill me because they had a paramedic come into the room.
Well,
at the same time.
What were you smoking? You thought it was crack cocaine. I mean,
I don't know what it was smoking. I never smoked crack, so I don't know what it was.
You know, just bought crack from crack dealers, and he was smoking it, and you didn't know what it was.
No,
right, listen,
never got,
I don't want to
relitigate.
Will
you listen to me, Gerardo? Stop this bullshit.
I don't want to relitigate
stop this bullshit about me doing something that's not factual. I'm not bought crack on the corner. I ain't not bought crack from anybody because I've not smoked it. You know, simple as that. That's a fact. And we know that also in terms
of...
Wait,
Mayor Ray, first, do you want to apologize to our viewers for the obscenity you just uttered?
I'm sorry, I got upset.
All right.
When people lie like that,
since 1990, the world has been told that you smoke crack.
Yeah, because the United States government set me up, sent this videotape all around the world, and in a trial, they wouldn't even produce evidence of what was in their pack.
What did you plead guilty to?
A misdemeanor. That happened at the Mayflower Hotel.
What was it?
A lady who brought in some powder cocaine, offered me, we took one hit. It was her cocaine. She brought it there, you know, and okay, so that's okay. What happened.
All right. Do you want to, as a person who has been through the mill, do you feel sympathy for Anthony Weiner and or Bob Filner?
Well, let me say this. Anytime you go through life, you're going to have some downfalls. You're going to have some things that happen to you that kicks you in the behind. You're going to find somebody that kicks you and somebody that puts you in a hole or you put yourself in a hole. And that's going to happen to all of us, whether it's a divorce, whether it's kids, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's finances. You're going to go through that. So I have to identify with anyone, not maybe what they did, but the fact that they went through all of this. When you go through it, you're embarrassed. You feel some lack of self-worth and all this kind of thing. Now, in terms of Congressman Weiner, I certainly understand not what he did, but what happened to you after that. Your family suffers from it. Your wife suffers from it. I was on an earlier show.
Should he stay in the race, Mayor?
I'm not in politics in New York. I know a lot about politics in New York. That's the decision he has to make. That's the decision his supporters have to make. I mean, one bit of advice to the congressman is that stop talking so much about now and start talking about what you did for 7 terms while he was in the Congress. He's a good Democrat. And also, same thing with Attorney General Schweitzer. You notice he doesn't talk about this thing.
Okay.
He
talks
about his record.
HIV संक्रमित हरुलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरुको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं। रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरुलाई मात्र होइन। तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Inform yourself about Plan B emergency contraception. Information can be the best protection, especially dealing with a sexual assault or unprotected sex. If you are 17 or older, you do not need a prescription to receive Plan B. All Indian Health Service facilities should carry Plan B, but most don't. This is a violation of your reproductive rights. Call your local Indian Health Service unit and ask for Plan B. It is our right as Native women to receive Plan B. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
Hello, this is Maurice Muhammad, Minister of Reformation with Black Unity, and you can always find us at www.blackunity.name.com. And you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Internet radio for smarter Aboriginals.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and we are sitting in with Guadalupe Morales. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. You can subscribe to our international podcast by way of our RSS feed at feedburner.com/Aboriginal Press Radio, all one word. And we are carried by another widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. That would include Berkeley Liberation Radio, Roger Free Kansas, and I've heard that it's popped up on some other shows and some other feeds. And you know that's cool. And Lupe has also she wants everyone to know, or she wants to give of course, you know, a big shout out to our newest listeners that we're noticing, because we've vastly started paying more attention to that sort of thing. In Indonesia, in India, you know, we're happy to have you along. We still have people in the Netherlands that occasionally have dropped the mail. It's been a while. We've changed addresses, but you know, we like to hear from you. And I know things have been dodgy in terms of the email situation. I mean, if you've been sending messages and we haven't gotten them, it's because we're using not a new email. We're using the old email, aboriginalmediagroup@gmail.com. Because, you know, the way the system is being set up, everything has to be funneled through Gmail now, right? So, being that we're being forced, right now anyway, to do that. Because the whole point of using the other address was to get off that tit. You dig what I'm saying? And it didn't work. Somebody in the news fucked that up. So, you know, that the old address is done for. So, aboriginalmediagroup@gmail.com. Drop us a line. If we haven't gotten your message, then you know why. So, let us know what's up. aboriginalmediagroup@gmail.com. So, welcome back. I'm not in a good mood. If it seems like I'm not in a good mood. You know, I read the news, and it's all bad news. You know, we have this young brother, and now I'm gonna admit I know nothing about him. Jet Jackson, something like that. I know nothing about him. Commit suicide at 29. I mean, come on. You know, and I know there were people out here saying, oh, he was black. Oh, black people don't commit suicide. Hey, you know, I don't know where this sort of stupidity is coming from. I really don't know what it, and I suppose that's what I want to talk about. Is that all right with you, Lupe? I mean, stupidity. Stupidity. You know, the fact that the United States, well, the entire world for that matter, but the entire world is led by the United States. The United States is soaked in unmitigated and unapologetic stupidity. How do we deal with this? How do sane people in a supposedly rational world cope with what we're seeing here? I mean, this thing with Bradley Manning is really fucked up. I don't know how, I don't care how you look at it. The fact that what's happening to him and what has already happened to him and what is likely to happen to him because of what the situation they're about to put him in, and then he's trying to come up with some sort of, you know, I mean, he's pulling, you know, from everything that's inside of him. And I can say that because the man is talking about going into the motherfucking federal prison system as a transgender person, and he's already announcing this to the world, you know, basically beating you punk ass homophobic motherfuckers to the punch, you know, because you already are trying to get him, you know what, I don't want to use certain terms, you know, I don't want to say certain things, you know, I mean, what, you know, I assume one has to assume that the way they're talking, that they're trying to get him hurt. Well, you know, one has to assume that by the way that the media is dealing with him, that the way that the Republicans had already outed him before this. Which is why I believe that he's making a statement at this time the way he's doing it. Because, you know, where's Lieutenant Choi when it really comes fucking down to it? The cat that was on Democracy Now over the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, what have you, and put the rather useless Senator Harry Reid on the spot with the whole ring bargain, you know. You hold my ring until I can get in, and he got his uniform back, and I guess he's back on contract. So, you know, I believe he said a couple of things about Manning, but has he really stepped out? No. Has the gay community really stepped out for Manning? No. Yes, gay individuals have stepped out for Manning. Has the gay community stepped out for Manning? No. Especially those gays that are in the military and trying to maintain their position in the military. And they know that right now, they need gay people in the military. They need gay folks in the military. And this is one of the reasons why I think they're pumping this whole transgender thing. Because by separating him, or really her, sorry. You know, by separating her from the rest of the gay community. Because if you know anything at all about gay politics, there is a separation between trans people and the mainstream gay lobby, there's a difference between gay males, gay females. That was the whole point of the lesbian, whole point of the lesbian term, the whole point of the lesbian quote unquote meme, for lack of a better term, right? Used to be just gay girls. This is the way older gay people have explained it to me. Gay girls. Gay males, on the other hand, when they started stepping out and getting political, did not acknowledge gay women. Because men don't usually acknowledge women in the West, right? So, you know, lesbian, same thing with this transgender bit, you know. I suppose depending on who you ask, like Mattachine Society, Daughters of Elitis, I mean, if you want to go that far back to the 50s, you know, like right after World War II, and you really, you know, investigate that, you'll see that when the women's movement started identifying lesbians as opposed to gay females, that it caused a divide. It caused a political divide. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't meet necessarily, but they came together for, you know, really silly shit in a lot of cases. Like, you know, Billie Jean King and what the fuck was his name? Martin Riggs, right? Not the nicest cat. Am I getting his name right, Martin Riggs? Not the nicest cat, but, you know, he and Billie Jean, and they just made it this whole big fucking brouhaha that was, you know, it was it ABC, I believe, was what was running that shit. So, you know, alright, so fine. We get caught up into the fact that first, he's gay. Second, he's transgendered. Right, they're already making fun of the name Chelsea. The photograph of him, I don't want to say in drag, but in character, for lack of a better term, is already making the rounds. So, you know, there's already hee-haws and the chuckling and you know, the funny this and the funny that. Look, you stupid sons of motherfucking bitches. You know, he asked for help to try to figure out what the fuck was going on with him. And he obviously went into the military like most young people go into the fucking military because there's nothing else going on out here. Not because they want to go hurt anybody necessarily. And you got those suckers, those freaks, who specifically go into the Navy trying to get into, you know, and try and get into the teams, right? You know what I'm talking about. You know, they've watched one or too many goddamn movies. Or maybe they sat through number one and number two of The Expendables. You know, all of that Republican war porn. Because that's all it is war fucking pornography. And you see who starred in it. So you know where the goddamn politics are. You know, somebody I know that's really heavy into martial arts, he was trying to tell me that Jet Li is a practicing Buddhist, and I've read that. But, yeah, he's a practicing Buddhist that's making films that's showing what? I know that in China he makes some really spiritual-centered films, da 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 da. But, you know, I mean, really, when he's in the West, though, he just does the capitalist, you know, thing, right? Hey, man, no disrespect, I'm just pointing out what I see, you know. So, hey, back to Manning. And I did have some other political malfeasance I wanted to raise, but right now, in terms of Manning, it's a goddamn shame. He reported a war crime that he was supposed to report. He was supposed to do something with it. And I'm talking about the collateral murder video. And that's just one aspect, you know, and then there's all the other files, which I haven't seen any of them. I just read what was reported by the punk-ass Guardian of the UK and what pieces of WikiLeaks and shit that were published by the hypocritical Washington Post. And you know, all of them who were calling for, you know, the maximum for Assange, for fucking Manning, right, for anybody else that's ever, you know, tried to expose any of this shit or anything else that is really impacting the people of the fucking planet. You know, I mean, you got the Pentagon goddamn papers, and then you got this. And then you have Snowden. You know, with anybody, as I said this before, anybody who's done any sort of activism work, who's ever read any kind of newspaper, knows full well, if the technology exists, they're going to violate the rules. You know, Operation Lantern Spike, Operation Harvest. You can go to Wikipedia and look these things up. They've been doing this. This isn't new. You know, Hoover built his goddamn career doing this kind of thing. And see, and the thing about it is it really isn't even government that's pushing it. It wasn't really government that was pushing it before. It was individuals within goddamn government. You know, it's like I, you know, people are like, well, I'm like, oh, sometimes you say, you know, shit about cops, man. It makes me wonder, I don't know who, you know, if we should trust you. And it's like, look, man. You have to understand that those men and women take that goddamn job. Some of them, just like the folks who are over serving in Iraq and Afghanistan or wherever the hell else, because there's a base in every little fucking corner everywhere on the goddamn planet, right? They take this shit because there's nothing else out here sometimes. That's the only fucking jobs available sometimes. And for a lot of people coming out the military, that's really the only fucking thing they can roll into unless they can, you know, get their way to the south of France or something and try to get into some kind of private security and private investigating bullshit. But even then, well, there's no point in going all the way over there for some shit that you can do right here, right? There's security all over the goddamn place. I mean, you know, there's not just cameras on the public buses now. There's cameras on the fucking public buses that record every fucking thing that's being said. And I'm not talking about the UK taxi why is it I can't find the word? I mean, because I just think it's fucked up that, you know, Cameron, who talks about trust Britain, but then he can't trust his own fucking citizens in a goddamn private cab. You know, but we're right here in the United States. They don't trust any goddamn buddy. So there's microphones in the fucking cameras on the buses. And then, you know, they want to talk about how bad Russia is. And they want to talk about how bad Cuba is. You know, Cuba's just so bad. It's just so wrong. But, no. See, they first off, never claimed to be the freest goddamn country in the world. They said they would take care of their people. That they have done. But they never said that they were the freest, most democratic state in the world. See, the U.S. says that. Russia never made that claim either. China has definitely never made that claim. You dig what I'm saying? Kyrgyzstan, Italy, France, right? The U.K. talks free speech, but they never said that you were free. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, it's, you know, we're not understanding what the fuck is going on. And that's why things are going on the way they're going on. You feel me? You know, because we're not paying attention. That's why I was saying what I said about Russell Simmons. You know, and it's not a diss to him personally. I don't know him personally. But he made a ridiculous goddamn dumb sucker move when he allowed that Harriet Tubman sex tape bullshit to roll forward. Especially for the first goddamn project that you fucking put on your new goddamn media channel. Like, Negroes really need more fucking media channels. Because there's not enough goddamn media channels. You know, we don't watch enough fucking television. You know, we don't listen to enough music. You know, we're not on social media, you know, pumping vitriol. You know, did you hear about so-and-so? Well, fuck you. Well, fuck you, too. Well, I don't know about that nigga. I don't like the nigga. You know, and no, don't try to pull some Don Lemon bullshit on me right now. Because a lot of what he said is true. But the thing about it is, it's not that what he said was true. What he said was piggybacking off goddamn Bill O'Reilly. And he piggybacked off Bill O'Reilly with a purpose. He wasn't pushing what I was just complaining about as one person of color to another saying, you know, you're acting like a motherfucking clown. No, he's saying you're not acting white enough because Bill O'Reilly and I agree. You're not acting white enough. You're not acting the way you're supposed to be. Now, you know, for total clarity, understand me here. Full disclosure. You cast like to wear your jeans or whatever fucking trousers, you know, down beyond your keister. Yeah, I think you look like motherfucking fools. That's my goddamn personal fucking opinion. All these baggy clothes and shit and, the you know, your head fucking wrapped and all that. Yeah, and the tattoos on your fucking faces and shit. The tattoos, period. The tattoos, period. Especially, you know, because of all of the hassle that I've known so many African people who were tattooed in the early days, I guess, of what's now called Afropunk. Because, you know, there was no name for that shit back then, right? It was what it was. It was just punk. You know, they were just trying to be a part of the American punk mainstream. And I know a lot of you think it started with the Sex Pistols. No. See, that's your you talking to you. You know, it's got you confused. No. Rock and roll, the whole thing, man. You know, all these DJs. I mean, I got no problem with Skrillex. David Guetta and all of that, you know, my wife's into all of that, right, you know, but, and that's cool, but you know where it started. That shit started in the black ghettos in the goddamn United States, you know, so it's just amazing on how black culture has just been taken and twisted and reconfigured, and the black man is sitting at home and he doesn't have a goddamn pot to piss in. Now, what does any of this have to do with Bradley Manning? Well, that in and of itself doesn't have a fucking thing to do with Bradley Manning. But the perceptions on how we look at shit has a lot to do with what I'm talking about. Now, you got a lot of old timers. And, you know, we need to stop picking on Bill Cosby for this. Because Bill Cosby was never supportive of motherfuckers calling each other nigger. Even when he used to make Blue albums, he didn't talk like that. And if he did, it was always to bring up a specific, you know, purpose. He was trying to point something out. So, you know, you really need to stop, you know, talking bad about Bill Cosby because he was never a radical. So, you know, for those of you who expect him to all of a sudden, you know, put on some kente cloth and start talking about hating white folks, that's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. He's not coming from that mean. You know, it's not going to happen. And it's a stupid goddamn way to look at life any motherfucking way. You know, that's just dumb, man. But, you know, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, Don Lemon called himself, you know, moving in that goddamn direction. But see, Bill Cosby, he's a conservative black man in America. I mean, he's proud to be an American and all that, but he never fucking tommed. You know, he and Sidney Poitier, they've never tommed. See, what the fuck Don Lemon did was a fucking tom jig for the ages. And yeah, it lasted a minute, and, you know, we'll all move past this, but the point is, it was just one of those, you know, little kicks in the ass, right? It's one of those little kicks in the ass that the black, you know, person in America still has to deal with. And yet we get mad at him, and then, you know, people cuss him out and, you know, don't like him on Twitter, don't like him on Facebook and what have you. But we're still not dealing with the fucking problem. See, like I said, you know, the fact that you guys will still buy a Rick Ross motherfucking track after what he said and what he actually put out there for you to buy. Any woman who buys anything from him is a fool. And any man that buys anything from him, well, you know, I have to question your integrity, bro. I have to question your integrity, man. You know, all that macho shit doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. I question your integrity. If you would support with your dollars and with your interest somebody that talked about doing what he did in that song. No, I have to question you, man. You're suspect. You're suspect. I said the same thing about R. Kelly. You know, for all the folks that, oh, you know, I ain't about these freaks. I ain't about supporting these freaks, man. It's like, well, what the fuck was up with him, you know? What was going on with that? I mean, his career, it seemed to have gotten better after the scandal. Which means what? That, you know, the fact that he was doing what he was doing didn't seem to affect you at all. It didn't seem to affect your judgment about him at all. I guess you laughed about it and then you continued to buy his shit. You know? I mean, he did a duet with who? Ronald Isley, right? Yeah, he did a track with Ronald Isley after that, and I was just like, what? You know, because, I mean, Ron Isley, I was like, you know, why would you even want to associate with somebody like this, man? You know, it's like, nah, man. You know, see, you know, there's a little hypocrisy here about a lot of things. And what I'm saying is that it comes down to how these things are presented, and how we process stuff. You know, was it Max Weber who made the suggestion that when we hear information, when we receive new information, we basically filter it through what we already have in terms of preconceived notions? So, you know, if you already feel that gay folks are freaky, and you think that transgender people are even more freaky, especially if you can't get the post-op transgender person, you know, like the image of that out of your mind. You know, if that totally gave you, you know, a nightmare, you know, you just can't remove that, right? So the more that they talk about him like this, the way that they're talking about him like this, it separates any gay support that he would get. And it puts other transgender people, you know, it really puts their backs against the wall. I mean, you have CC McDonald. I don't hear the fucking gay community saying a goddamn thing about CC McDonald. You might hear individuals say something about her. You might see an article pop up every now and again. Where's the movement to deal with the case of CC McDonald? Somebody who was defending herself. You know, yes, she was transgender, and yes, she was of color, but she was defending herself against a goddamn neo-Nazi who threatened her. What about standing her goddamn ground? I mean, I'm very glad that folks are talking about Marissa Alexander, because that is another story that is overdue, overlooked, and underappreciated. But really, if we're going to talk about, you know, repairing the circle, as my native cousins will say, if we're going to talk about repairing the circle and being healthy, then we have to protect all of our people, not just the ones that, you know, is okay to like, that is socially, you know, acceptable to support. And the black community has turned its back on CC McDonald. The black community has turned its back on CC McDonald. Now, if there's a movement out there that I'm not aware of, that, you know, that we haven't, you know, been made conscious of, then let us know over here at aboriginalmediagroup@gmail.com. Because CC McDonald, outside of a few activists that are continuing to report on what's happening with her, and I believe she has a blog, that I frankly, you know, I apologize to her and her supporters for not checking on a regular basis myself. But, you know, I do think about her and argue about her, you know, when I do talk, because I just think it's a disgusting situation that, you know, this happens to her. She's attacked by a racist, a neo-goddamn-Nazi. You know, she was with a group of people leaving a gay bar, and these four folks followed them, threatened them, physically attack them. She defends herself the only way she knew how from a male who was way larger than her, and she ends up in the joint. How does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. So it's the same thing with Bradley Manning. Now, if you have don't ask, don't tell, then you have don't ask, don't tell, right? Which we all know is bullshit, because it really puts you in this thing, they don't ask, you don't tell, but if we find out, well, then the hammer comes down. And that's what happened with Manning. You know, and this is, well, in a lot of ways, this is what happened with Manning, because they continued to use him as long as they could use him. You know, they knew that he was pretty useless for the field, not because he's transgender. You know, don't make that goddamn mistake. We just had a Navy SEAL that's come out not too long ago as transgender. He was, what, 18-year fucking veteran of the fucking teams. I mean, has seen every goddamn thing. He's transgender. Well, she's transgender now. So don't believe that anyone who's transgender is a punk and can't handle it. That's stupidity on your motherfucking part. You know, Manning simply is a sensitive person, and that bullshit that he was, you know, dealing with in terms of his intelligence work there was fucking with his mind. Now, for those who don't seem to think that that's possible, look at the goddamn psychiatrist that flipped out down there in Fort Hood. He hadn't even been in country. He was just dealing with fuckers when they were coming back, right? He was dealing with these fellows when they were coming back. So when they told him that he was fucking going, he fucking wigged out. And I haven't really heard too much about his trial. The last thing I heard was he wanted to wear his beard in court, and they were saying, no, you couldn't do that. I know he's paralyzed from the neck down. I mean, his life was over the day he decided to do that shit. I mean, there's so many people in the military, and it's a goddamn shame that no one's really addressing the mental health issues of war, of not just PTSD, but the idea of even going to war in the fucking first place to do damage to somebody that you don't even motherfucking know. Because a fucking cat that he didn't know over in his country told him that to fucking come after you. You know what I'm saying? This is a whole lot of bullshit. Who's profiting from this, brother and sister? This is what Manning was talking about when he saw the fucking video that was released as collateral murder. It fucking shook him, obviously, to his very goddamn moral core. Because obviously the woman has a fucking moral core. And when we see how women are being treated in the military, I'm talking about the U.S. goddamn military. I'm not talking about, you know, some African fucking military. I'm not talking about South America. I'm not talking about Asia. I'm talking about North America, United States. I'm talking about United States motherfucking military. Women are not safe on their own goddamn base. And, you know, and they just, you know, some of you conservative, they just want to throw up Lori Paestewa to me. Yeah, and how did they treat her? How did they treat her and what was her name? The woman that was, it was the fake rescue. She was with Laurie. They were friends. Private Jessica Lynch, right? Yeah, thank you, Lupe. Private Jessica Lynch, is that the name? Well, because I can't hear you in New York. I can barely hear you. Private Lynch, well, whatever the case was, you know, she eventually was like, I can't continue to go on with the lie. And you know, and Laurie didn't die the way that they said. Remember, they said that she died in combat. I'm not saying that she didn't. I mean, obviously, there was the accident. But they made it seem as if she was in the middle, you know, engaged in a firefight with the enemy and had gotten close and it got, like, you know, to hand-to-hand combat. And they gave this entire big fucking fraud on what happened to this Native woman. She wasn't gung-ho for all we know. She was just trying to put food on the table because there wasn't anything else for a Native woman to do in her goddamn community. And yes, they have a mountain after, you know, named after her. And I mean absolutely no disrespect to her memory, her family, or her community. But this system used her. The same thing they did to Pat Tillman. They used them. They use them for propaganda to make it seem that what they're doing over there is okay. And we have to point out, it's what they are doing. It's what they are doing. We don't have any hand in this. We have no say in this, right? They got past the Vietnam syndrome. Because if the case is really that we have it, if this is really a democracy, when you have so many goddamn people who are against this from the beginning. And let me just show you how stupid the goddamn political awareness is in the United States. There's been different articles popping up about this. It turns out that the Republicans, when they were polled in Louisiana, believed that Obama is responsible for what happened during Katrina. He wasn't in office yet. Right? It was Dem's son, you know, Bush the second. But they're blaming Obama. Many of them are blaming Obama. How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, that's possible because I suppose because we got Oklahoma students who think that the first president of the United States was Abraham Lincoln. They only know that World War II came after World War I because World War I was first. They don't know who was involved. So you have a stupid populace. And because we have a stupid populace and we have all of these revelations, not just Snowden, but the whole WikiLeaks thing, the whole, you know, everything that Manning is going to the joint for. We have all of this malfeasance. This is like when, in Wisconsin, the governor, when he got punked, when he thought he was talking to one of the Koch brothers and admitted that he was considering, you know, framing people, the activists that were out there. You know, openly considering framing people so he could have them detained. No, everything is just allowed to continue to go on. We have police officers who are found to have been framing people for decades. Well, okay, they got John Berg in Chicago, but how many more? How many more? What happened during the OJ trial? What was admitted during the OJ trial by Furman on how he was just violating the human rights and the civil rights of people? But you want to call international law on some small island someplace after the ruler there that you put in got out of hand and you can't control him any goddamn more. And then you got on the left wing, you got, you know, idiots like Mugabe who's now accusing Obama of being gay, you know, or being pro-gay, or you know, a kiss ass to gay people, you know. It's like insanity. He can't control what's going on in his own goddamn country. He's got a heavy hand smacking the hell out of his opposition in his own country. He has his own court to, of course, validate the election that he fixed. You know, and then he's out here, well, you know, it's all the problem with the gays. You know, that's the exact same goddamn thing Idi Amin did. When things got bad, he became ultra-religious. Because Mugabe wasn't all that Christian nonsense until lately. He didn't start out like that. He was a pure socialist. And if you're a pure goddamn Marxist, religion is the last thing you talk about. So that's why I'm trying to explain to you black folks, the one that talked to me about Mugabe, he is not what you think he is. He is a stereotypical and a typical black fucking dictator in Africa, okay? And he's using whatever he can do to stay in power. He's using whatever tactic that he can use to stay in power. And when he finally leaves the scene, you're going to see complete motherfucking chaos in that country. And it's going to spread out the entire region and to the entire continent, and AFRICOM will do evidently what it was put there to do. Right? The French are back in. Even the Israelis are back in Africa. You know, I mean, are the Portuguese in, or did they not have a dog in that fight any longer, right? You know, they just, what, they gave up on Mozambique? Is that it? So, yeah, you know, let's not kid ourselves. You know, what's going on with Manning is a fucking shame. And it's allowed to go on the same as you have every 28 hours, you know, a black person being executed in the United States. You know, that's allowed to go on after Trayvon Martin and everything, after the Zimmerman verdict, right? That's allowed to go on. So why is anybody surprised by any of this? We are fools if we're surprised by any of this. There is no surprise here. This is all the way it's supposed to go. This is considered the natural order of things. So they will continue to allow capitalism to break the back of the system and then reconfigure it so they can continue to make more profit off its destruction. You know, because this is what's happening. This is what's happening. Right? Instead of dealing with what actually causes crime, you know, let's not look at the causalities, which is usually poverty, because the rich are ripping off the, you know, the powerless. Right? And while they got you looking at the Bohemian Grove and the goddamn Bilderberger Group, which I'm not saying that the Bilderberger Group isn't important, but the circus atmosphere about it makes it look like the whole UFO phenomenon, which again should be taken much more seriously than it is, And the only reason why I'm saying that is because the military takes it seriously. The military takes it seriously. So if they take it fucking seriously, it's worth taking seriously. You dig what I'm saying? But it's the way that it's talked about. I'm not talking about the debunkers. I'm talking about it's just the way that it's discussed. You can't have a rational discussion about unidentified flying objects. I'm not talking about green men from space. I'm talking about unidentified flying objects. You can't have a rational discussion about that because of the way things are framed. But you could have a supposedly rational goddamn discussion about somebody who may have lived 2,000 years ago and is attributed to have, what, walked on water, raised people from the dead, right? You know, all kinds of things that make absolutely no sense. Coming back from the dead. You know, when it makes more sense to believe that he's buried in Kashmir with a Muslim, which is probably the real goddamn story. But, you know, we're not going to hear it that way because people like the fantasy. And the 10%, they take that fantasy and they continue to use the 85% as the fools that I suppose many of them want to be. Because if you have to think for yourself, then that means you're independent, right? That means you're responsible then, right? And I'm not talking about the capitalist idea, oh, you have to be responsible for yourself, put up by your own goddamn bootstraps. You know, what the fuck is a bootstrap any goddamn way? You know, don't tell me that bullshit when you have corporate welfare going to all of the goddamn Fortune 500. I mean, BP is getting tax breaks after all the damage they did here in the Gulf. And we have, what, how many leaks going on here, and the XL pipeline hasn't even been approved yet. How much ecological damage is going on right here in North America? What's happening up there to the tar sands in the Great White North? What's happening to all those arboreal forests up there that are being ruined? All of that native, indigenous, motherfucking First Nations land that's being ruined. Because a white guy says, well, you know, I got the right to do this because I got the power to do this. Right? We're talking about a government that says every indigenous person in its claimed territory is a potential threat to the state. That's exactly what they say in Canada, that every First Nations person is potentially a problem. Right? Because Indians are just supposed to disappear and or dance around for us and be entertaining. You know, you're not supposed to actually have your own goddamn destiny. Because, you know, a superior race came. Isn't that how Winston Churchill put it? I'm not going to, you know, have a problem with a superior race coming in. He said this about Palestine in terms of moving European Jews there. And he was an anti-Semite. I mean, he was a Judaophobe. He didn't care for Jews. This is on the record. The BBC has made this clear. Churchill didn't like Jews at all. At all. I mean, I've heard he said some unkind things about Disraeli. I don't know if it was because he was Jewish per se, but it's known that he didn't particularly care for Jewish people. He believed in all the Jewish conspiracies, all of that nonsense, right? But when it came to what was going on in Palestine after the Ottomans had been removed, he was like, oh, to hell with that. They're brown. He said that. They're brown. Just move them aside and put in these people. And that's it. You know? He said that he didn't think that white people, that Europeans, should apologize for what happened in North America to the Indian. You know, that Europeans shouldn't apologize for moving into Australia and making it better. You know, I mean, Hitler said the same thing. So, you know, there's a point where they agreed. See, where they disagreed was the nationalism, right? Hitler attacked, you know, England. So on that basis alone, Churchill hated him. You know, if he had not attacked England, had not bothered, say, the Gulf of Aden or any British interest, I doubt very seriously if they would have had a problem. Especially since the upper crust didn't have a problem with the fascists in Germany or in Spain or in Italy or in France that developed anyway with the Vichys. Anyhow, you know, there were upper crust German, you know, English, German, boon, friendship clubs and what have you. You know, all before the war, you know, all during the 30s, even after 1933. Well, hey, Kim Philby was a member. If you remember him, one of the Cambridge Five, he was a member of one of these boons. Well, he might have been working for the Russians at this point. You know, there's speculation that he started working for them actually when he was a journalist, even though that they did approach him at Cambridge, probably just to get his feet wet. But I don't know. Who cares? Look at the meme, folks. Just look at everything. right? You know, and ask yourself why Manning and John Kerouac and all these other people are in the joint, you know, all the whistleblowers, but the motherfuckers that are doing all the goddamn damage out here, they're not. And ask yourself how it was allowed to happen. Well, it's allowed to happen because you're not really paying attention. When I'm not talking about you individually, I'm talking about you as a society. You're not paying attention. You know, because you're trying to ask yourself, you know, is it really worth it for me to say no? And am I really understanding what the hell is happening? Because really, I might be getting something out of this, right? Because that is the way things are taught here. Remember, the oil prices are going to go down. You know, home heating is going to get cheaper, right? This is what Bush the Second was saying. Has that happened? Has that happened? Don't be a sucker. Pay attention to what's going on. This is the Angry Indian, and you've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid from The Horn, head on radionetwork.com, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is FSNL reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more. If I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movements, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
We're the hood librarians. We ship the prisons too. We reach out and deliver to those that's bitten too. But it's more than a bookstore. You want it, we got it. Mixtapes, DVDs, and culture products. Black and Nobel got our hands in a lot of projects. You rock them all to come build. The energy is positive. And remember, other teams, there's awakened conscious. Come through and experience this place of knowledge. That said, they'll put it in a book. If they want to hide it from us, but we got the books so you can buy it from us. Something to read while you're on a train or riding the bus. Get your read on, food for thought, get your eat on.
Black and Nobel, I buy my books at Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I buy my books at Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I buy my books at Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel, I buy my books at Black and Nobel.
Cause the white man's got a God complex. I'm making guns.
I'm God.
I'm God. I'm making bombs.
I'm God.
God. I'm making gas.
I'm God. God.
I'm making freak machines.
I'm God.
Life control pills.
I'm God.
Kill Indians who discovered him.
I'm God.
Kill Japanese with the A-bomb.
I'm God.
Kill and still kill black people.
I'm God.
Enslaving Earth.
I'm God.
No one to the moon.
I'm God.
I'm God.
I'm God.
I'm God.
I'm God.
Spell backwards is dog.
Nineteen women and children were rounded up as Viet Cong suspects, and the lieutenant that rounded them up called the captain on the radio, and he asked what should be done with them. The captain simply repeated the order that came down from the colonel that morning. The order that came down from the colonel that morning was to kill anything that moves, which you can take any way you want to take it. And when the captain told the lieutenant this, Lieutenant Rangoff, I got up and I started walking over to the captain, thinking that the lieutenant just might do it because I'd served in his platoon for a long time. As I started over there, the captain, I think the captain panicked. He thought the lieutenant might do it too. And this was a little more atrocious than the other executions that our company participated in, only because of the numbers. But the captain tried to call him up, tried to get him back on the horn, and he couldn't get a hold of him. As I was walking over to him, I turned and I looked in the area. I looked to where the VCS were, supposed VCS. And two men were leading a young girl, approximately 19 years old, very pretty, out of a hooch. She had no clothes on, so I assumed she had been raped, which was pretty SOP. And that's standard operating procedure for civilians. And she was thrown onto the pile of the 19 women and children, and five men around the circle opened up on full automatic with their M16s. And that was the end of that.
These people are aware of what American soldiers do to them, so naturally they try to hide the young girls. We found one hiding in a bomb shelter in sort of the basement of her house. She was taken out and raped by six or seven people in front of her family, in front of most of the villagers. This wasn't just one instance, this is just the first one that I can remember, but I know of 10 or 15 of such instances at least.
I saw one case where a woman was shot by a sniper, one of our snipers, and when we got up to her, she was asking for water. And the lieutenant said to kill her. So they ripped off her clothes, they stabbed her in both breasts, they spread her eagle and shoved an E-tool up her vagina, an entrenching tool, and she was still asking for water. And then they took that out and they used a tree limb, and then she was shot.
Why do you want to die, Grandfather?
Because there's no other way to deal with a white man, my son. Whatever else you can say about them, it must be admitted. You cannot get rid of them. There is an endless supply of white men, but there always has been a limited number of human beings. We won today. We won't win tomorrow.
Lucha sin pausa, son tiempos duros los que nos llaman a dar la vida por nuestra causa.